and welcome to the Blue Team Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This week we'll be looking back on Saturday's defeat to Alloa, preview this weekend's visit of Montrose, and with the transfer window closing soon, what areas do you think need strengthening? Yes, you are listening to the Blue Toon Podcast. Once again, I am Colin Byers, and with me, as ever, it's Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are we this week?
Yeah, not too bad. Thanks, Colin, yourself.
Delighted. Schools are back. after seven long weeks, they are back. So, yeah, it's all good. Back to a bit of normality, as they say.
The kids aren't a delight, but the parents are mega chuffed that the kids are back.
Well, I'm in the house here, absolutely delighted. We should start, congratulating ourselves or whatever, but this is officially 3 years since we've been doing the podcast, 3 years to the day. If you are listening to it on the 29th, Monday the 29th, 3 years exactly since we recorded that first memorable one.
People heard and how often we recorded it was slightly different, but I didn't care. It was 3 years today. It's quite a milestone.
It was a lot of editing points, I think. Guess we would have been in the first one, but we've come a long way since then. Hopefully, and as we continue to say every year and at various points, we can't thank you guys enough for continuing to support and listen each and every week, and your feedback as well is always appreciated. Because at the end of the day, if it wasn't for you guys listening, we would just be really speaking to ourselves, and nobody else would be listening. So, thanks again for that, and hopefully in this time next year we'll be celebrating another milestone.
Yeah, here's hoping, as you said. A massive thanks to everybody, because without them feedback and everything, it makes it a lot harder for us to do a podcast on.
That's it. So that is the positive bit out of the way.
Well,
I'll tell you what. We'll jump onto something else then. But a news, obviously, just today as well. SPFL Trust Trophy draw has been made. We are at home to Elgin at the end of September. I would say it's a decent draw against a lower league side, so we'll say. But in this kind of climate, I don't know what would have been a good draw.
Well, I think the fact that it's a home draw, I think that's the positive side of it. And Elgin, fairly local as well in terms of the geographical position. So hopefully we get a decent crowd, but also from our own point of view, performances drastically need to improve by the time we get into end of September.
I know, geographically, you know, the places that we could have ended up going, you know, Wales or Ireland or places like that, I guess a home draw would have been the ideal one.
Yeah, as you said, some of the places that we could have been, logistical-wise, it could have been a nightmare for the players getting. Some of them would have needed to take things like 2-3 days off their work to get to some of the places, depending on how you travel. But yeah, it's a home game, it's against Elgin, so hopefully we can go through in the cup.
And it's been 3 years since we played them competitively. I know we played them in a friendly at the beginning of the season, but 3 years since we played each other competitively, so that'll just add a little bit extra to the game as well.
Yeah, absolutely. As you said, 3 years, so I'll be fine to play them again, but hopefully we'll come out on the right side of a positive result on that day.
Yeah, positive results, that's what we are looking for, and that's what we're all about. So let's just get into Saturday's game,
yeah,
then.
Yeah, we won't have been a bit of bush,
will we? We've procrastinated enough. Let's just get into it then. So, you know, we've watched the game, we've seen the highlights, we've read the comments. We've heard what Jim has to say. We've, in the last 2 or 3 weeks, we've tried to be positive. We've tried to put a positive spin on it. But really, I'm starting to struggle to find anything that we can pick out of that game or pick out of what's been happening or what's been said since that you can actually say is positive. And I just can't see anything. I'm struggling to see where we're going. And what we're trying to achieve.
Yeah, you're bang on everything you've said there. I mean, we made a conscious effort a couple of weeks ago to try and put a a positive spin on things, because obviously you kind of deceive the punters. They can see their own eyes what they're watching. But you try to pick out the positives. I did think, especially the way to Falkirk, I thought there was a decent-ish performance in it. I sort of could potentially see what he was trying to do. But I think Saturday's result, the 5-0, the way it happened, it screams at a team bereft of confidence. And you see in Jim's interview at the end, colleague at work actually said to me things Jim's done. Not in terms of he's going to be sacked today, but he just feels like he's given up. Even he can't see forward gone. You know, that particular person has been going to games, you know, since over the last 20, 30 years. So he's seen a lot of coming and goings at Balmore. But even Jim's interview after the game, he sat down, he said he's gutted and responsibilities with him. Responsibility is a team, it's not just one person. But, you know, he just seemed bereft of confidence himself. And, you know, ultimately, I think that's what the team is lacking. Also, you could argue that there's a fair bit of quality potentially missing. But confidence, we've spoken about it numerous times, but that's the main thing, along with quality as well. But when you've no confidence, you sort of end up with a performance that I think they see on Saturday.
And it would be no lie to say that it was 5, possibly going on 7 or 8, maybe even more, given the amount of chances that Alloa were creating and the space they were managed to find in behind. And it just seemed to be every time that they went forward, they were almost scoring.
Yeah, I think they got their first goal and then they had potentially another 2 chances before they actually got their second. So really, I mean, if they're being critical, it could have been 4-0 done within 10 minutes. But it was Rowan undoing the first goal, sloppy pass in midfield, no man's land. And, you know, you could pick faults through every goal. You could criticise left, right and centre. But the team just knows bereft of confidence and you need results to turn it around. It's that bitter cycle of you need the win, but you don't have the confidence to try and get the win, which you need to bring the confidence. It's a really nasty cycle. But like you, I am struggling to see where we're going. You know, the match report sort of made me chuckle on Saturday. We were lacking in numbers, but yet with the full team and the full bench. So I struggle to see that. That was the first line of the match report. So, again, I struggle to see really far we're going at this moment in time.
You mentioned Jim's interview at the end after the game, and I've picked out a couple of his quotes, his direct quotes, and they're quite interesting. And there is maybe that's changing his sort of way of thinking. Whereas before, he was usually quite positive. He'd find something to be positive about. He says here, "It's my problem. I'm the manager. The buck stops with me." He says he's clutching at straws, and for him personally, he's miles short in terms of his performance as well. And if when you look at the team selection as well, you've obviously got to say, well, it's the manager that's picking the team, and you look at the midfield, and this is a go at the three guys that were in midfield. But Danny Strachan was in midfield, Max Gillis was in midfield, and Jack Brown was in midfield as well. Out with the people that were available, that is not going to be our strongest midfield. I know Ryan Dow was obviously was ill and obviously wasn't going to be selected, but out with the other people that was available, you kind of tell me that was the strongest midfield that he could have put out.
Yeah, I came in for a bit of criticism a couple of weeks back. I said that Jim failed to have his team ready. I feel sort of justified in that comment, and because he said it himself, he feels he's miles short of where he needs to be. The buck stops with him. And if that is a midfield three that you're going to put out at the end of August in midfield, again, says to me that we weren't adequately prepared for it. But getting away from that, square pegs and round holes, we've said it quite a few times in the last 3 years. Again, they slant on the Jack, Max and Danny that did play in midfield. But they are in your three midfielders that you want to be lining up in midfield away to Alloa. So again, I think we've maybe got in players, but is it we've signed players because we need the numbers, or we've signed the players because we feel that this is the players to bring us forward? Again, we're only in end of August, but what we've seen so far, I think a lot of people say we'll leave a lot to be desired.
Yeah, as I said, I mean, it's nice slight on those three. They are just playing in the position that they've been asked to play. But when you've got somebody like Max Gillis, who has been one of our better players, better performers, has scored two in the last two at right wing back, to suddenly take him out of that position and stick him into a holding midfield role, and then play Robbie Miguel, who again hasn't been really involved too much. I think he's played 50 minutes against Falkirk, 25 against Clyde, and 20 against Airdrie in the league so far this season. To then try and jig things around a little bit. It seems a bit strange when, as I said, when Max has been playing particularly well down that right wing-back position.
Well, we've seen in recent times that, you know, Josh Mulligan, he started off at right-back and then he went in the midfield, and it worked. It's nice to say that's how he was going to work. I think Jim's maybe just... He's maybe trying to shuffle things about and try and get a reaction. I kind of said in midfield we were sort of left a bit wanting against Queens. He maybe felt that by putting certain players in, he would get that energy in midfield. Again, it's backfired. It hasn't quite worked. But we have been critical in the past, saying he hasn't tried things. He hasn't tried to change it. He's, you know, stuck with the same thing over and over again. So I guess the credit, the positive side, if there is really, is he's tried to do something that hasn't quite worked. He's big enough, he said in his interview, he's big enough and ugly enough that the buck stops with him. Yes, but he also needs his players to, you know, to up their game. There's personal pride as well. But I'm sure everybody in the club's hearting just knew. But like you said right at the start of the show, I just didn't see the direction that we're sort of aiming for at the moment.
And again, with some people are sort of obviously... football fans, they've obviously got their own opinions and things. There is obviously a lot of comments that have come in since after Saturday's game, particularly after the match report was posted on Sunday. The thread's quite long, and there's some people are saying, well, it takes time. It's a new team; it needs time to gel. I get that. I get where folk are coming for, and I understand that argument, but these players won't, when I get to time to gel, or when I'll be able to gel, if they are not playing in positions that they are suited in, i.e., you know, you're playing Danny Sarkin in centre midfield, you're playing Max Gillis at holding midfield. When I work, and it's what you've been saying, square pegs and round holes, etc., that's just going to kill the confidence even more.
I get the argument, you know, players need time to gel, and it almost is like a brand new team, it is effectively. But I don't know how long you give that argument. I mean, do we wait until it gets into December and go, well, this team are still gelling? I mean, what is the gelling period? Is it 2 weeks? Is it 12 weeks? The problem is, in my opinion, you can say that the team need time to gel, but look at the league table already. Mm. You're almost getting cut adrift at near the bottom, but in that 9th and 10th position. I get the argument that the team need time to gel, but for me, this is players that Jim's brought in. He's felt that they were the right fit for the team. I get it. I'm not necessarily on board with it.
I do think that there's really is good players there, and I think on paper. And if we played football on paper, it would be a hell of a different game. But on paper, we should be able to be matching Alawa player by player for player. But I just think that the tactics and the playing people out of position isn't working. And it maybe got a while with that, again, just playing people here and there. But as you said, the league getting cut adrift, you know, that's 3-1, 4-1, and 5-0 in the last three now. No wins in the league in 5-9 in total this season already. We had this issue this time last season. You know, we started it off the league. We beat Alawa 2-0, opening game of the season, and then we went a bit of a run. But those defeats, I think it was 4, the next 5, I think it was maybe, or something like that.
Yeah.
We were always getting beat by just that one goal, apart from East Fife away when we lost 3-0. Every one of those defeats was by a single goal, and there was a performance there, and you just felt that the luck needed to change. This is totally different. This is a different scenario. We are getting beat, and we're getting it looks like we're getting beat convincingly as well.
Last season, with a lot of games that you felt you were unlucky, and I'm clutching at straws as well, and I think our best performance was Falkirk away, and we still got beat 3-1. If that's your best performance, a 9, you know, you'd reckon for your going. The fact that you think a defeat's a good performance, but that's based on what we've seen in the other 8 games. There is lack of leadership. There is, there was numerous comments on Twitter and Facebook. Everybody's got their own opinion, as I said. Everybody feels their opinion's right. But at the moment, I think most folk, or the majority of people, would agree that we're the one direction and we're going, and that doesn't look like it's going to be going up League One. I think we've said before we're in for a long season, and I can only see it getting longer as it goes into winter. As you said, we conceded 3, 4, and 5. You'd prefer it the other way. You started off conceding 5, and you can see that there's progression at the moment. I'd love to sit here and think, oh no, there's, you know, we're starting to get into a rhythm, we're just unlucky. But let's be honest, you can't fool people that's watching the game. We're just not good enough.
We were lucky, I guess, last season that Dumbarton and East Fife were so poor, and they ended up both getting relegated, and we managed
to. We struggled against Dumbarton.
Yeah, we did. We struggled against East Fife as well, and that was a point. But everybody else, apart from Kelty, are picking up wins, they're picking up points, and we are there. And as I said, if it wasn't for Kelty, I know we're now bottom on goal difference, but if Kelty maybe picked up a win in one of those opening games, suddenly that gap becomes, 3 points, 4 points? And as you said, we're getting cut adrift already.
Yeah, it's only 5 games in, and I feel we are cut adrift. I thought we'd been almost like a mini-league with Edinburgh, FC Edinburgh and Clyde, and you see the start they've made. And, you know, if you can make a good start in the league, it gives you that confidence that you can pick up wins that you maybe didn't think you would. At the moment, you know, I'd imagine most folk would look at our next games and go, where is a win coming from? Or can you actually see us getting a win and picking up 3 points? But it's not to say the guys aren't trying, but you just, again, it comes down to confidence that you're constantly getting beaten, chipping goals. Your natural reaction at the start of games is to drop deeper and deeper, and you can see within the first minute, that really doesn't help your cause.
Yeah, that's the thing. The last thing you want to do when you go away from home, when you're on a bad run, is to concede so early, and it's not just conceding early, but it's exactly what I think Jim had said it in his post-match as well. It's shooting ourselves in the foot. It's giving the bar one midfield. But I wouldn't say it's the most dangerous place to lose the bar. It's inside where in their half. Conor Salmon standing on the halfway line when we've lost the bar, and then within 10 seconds, the bar's in the back of the net. It's the how we're defending it as a team as well, and I think that's quite gelling yet either. And I've got my reservations with Paul Dixon. We've mentioned his name a couple of times already, but I think 3, maybe even 4 of the goals are sort of coming down his side. We mentioned about lack of leadership as well. He's the captain. He's the one that's got the experience. He knows what he's doing. But throughout that game, there was one person that I could really see that was being vocal, who wasn't happy with what was happening. And again, that was Jason Brown. And we keep bigging him up every week, every time. But he has to get praise for trying to be that leader on the park.
Absolutely. Aye. Jason is, ironically, in a PRT team, he's a born winner, and he hates losing a 50-50. He hates losing a header. You can see that. You know, he's got a few red cards for losing his head over the last couple of years. But we mentioned it 18 months ago, maybe a year ago, he got captain during Montrose, I think it was. And his game has improved, you know, what a difference in the last 18 months, 2 years. You would think he's an experienced international, played at a top level, Paul Dixon aside him, that would help. And as you said, there's been a few times now that we've been left wanting doing that left-hand side. We mentioned it last week off-air that we've got reservations on certain players since they've come in that we were maybe expecting more of. You know, at the moment, Paul fits into that category. I think there's a good defender, but we're just not seeing it. But you could argue that for quite a few of the players. There's a good player there, but we just haven't seen it. But yeah, at the moment, we're left with it in quite a few areas.
And the defence has chopped and changed so much in the opening nine games. You know, Jason was obviously suspended for the League Cup, then got injured, and then Andy McDonald's played at centre half. He's played at left back. David Wilson's been in and out of the side. Danny Strachan's been playing right wing back, and then he's out of the side. And then, you know, Jack Wilkie comes in, plays centre half, then he plays at left wing back. With Max Gillis at right wing back. But everybody has been sort of chopped and changed or dropped out the side through injury or suspension, or, you know, in David Wilson's case, just been dropped out of the team onto the bench. But Paul Dixon's the one that's been consistent, apart from when he was suspended after he's sending off.
It's a wee bit like the hokey cokey in defence. You're in, you're out, you're in, you're out. that's not good for, you know, the defence. Also, Jack in goals. He needs to sort of have an understanding with his defence. You know, if Jim played the same team, the same back five, so to speak, you know, four defenders or, you know, five plus Jack in goals, and he said, right, this is a team I'm going to go with. Going to try it for 3-4 weeks and see if we can get a bit of continuity, a better understanding, rather than constantly changing. I think, again, you want to see a bit of direction, and you mentioned that there's been so many changes in defence. If you had almost like a settled back line, go, right, this is what we're building on, we'll work in a partnership, we'll work on this, and then the rest of it, you build your team on a solid foundation at the back. You're hard to beat, you're not going to lose games. At the moment, I think we're leaky. I mean, we've shown that with the goals we've conceded. You just, there's not that spine in your team that we've had in previous years. And you kind of keep going on about previous seasons, previous years. This is what we've got now. And Jim said that the buck stops with him. So we need to get, you know, Jim needs to get these players moulded in the way he wants to. Again, it goes back to needing time to gel. But you're looking to see an improvement week on week. And in the moment, I ain't seen it.
And you mentioned Jack in goals there, and weirdly enough, again, somebody who we've been praising quite a lot in the last few weeks, I kind of felt that he was even looking a little bit shaky at times as well, and I think that comes to the fact that he was having to come for crosses or in things or corners that he maybe wouldn't necessarily normally go for, because I don't think he's maybe got the full confidence in the guys in front of him as well, and he feels as though he needs to be doing something to try and stop us hemorrhaging goals.
Overcompensating. I think he's potentially not got the trust that he's maybe won in his defence. So he's maybe trying to come for things that ordinarily he wouldn't. I think there was two corners in the first half. He sort of looked a wee bit unsure, a bit flappy on. And to be honest, I haven't seen that really for him. But when you chop and change the defence as much, it's only natural that your goalkeeper's going to be wondering, well, is this defender actually going to come for it? Is he going to leave it? And then you're caught in no man's land. So I can see why he's coming for things. I think he is overcompensating. But as I said, you don't have continuity in your defence, that'll happen.
So he did make four changes. Three of them were enforced injuries to Andy McDonald, Ryan Dow and Adeyemo. Danny Strachan, as we mentioned already, he came in, Robbie McGill came in, Jordan Brown came in, and the new signing, Cristiano Kazuka, came in as well. It mentioned the game time that Robbie McGill's got. Jordan himself, he got 60 minutes against Airdrie in the first game, and then in the next three games, he's got a combined 22 minutes in those three games. Danny, as we said, opening two games, he played the full 90 minutes, didn't play the next game, then played 30 minutes against Queen of the South at centre half, and we were already 4-1 down, and then gets 45 minutes hooked at half time. Again, I wouldn't say desperation, but you know, you're trying to obviously build a team, and then you're asking these guys to come in when they haven't been getting the game time, and to try and get us out of a bit of a rut. And I could even go further and look at somebody like Cody McLeod, who, you know, played, I think, majority of the games in the League Cup, yeah, and now suddenly just kind of get a game.
The Jordan and Danny minutes, I would say I'm surprised, but you know, there's previous than that last season, I think Jordan got as much game time as he'd have liked, and likewise Danny. Okay, he didn't get nearly as much game time as fit he'd have wanted and hoped. You said desperation. I think it's a manager that's looking to try and find his best team, but at the moment he doesn't care for it is. And if the manager's nature is his best team, it makes it difficult for the team and the players that's on the pitch to try and get an understanding of each other. It's not just a brace in a gym and getting it wrong. Like I said, the team have got personal pride as well. And I'm sure the guys in the league conceding four, then going away from home and conceding five. But it's a test of character now. The players are in a situation now where there's a lot of focus on, you know, what's happening on and off the pitch. They need to do their talking on the pitch. They need to, you know, head doing and training tomorrow night. Jim will have a plan with Davey, and they'll look to work on the game on Saturday. It's how they go about picking the players up. I mean, we've heard in previous times that Simon Ferry and Scott Brown have had like almost like team meetings at training. You're looking for somebody in that squad to bring the players together and, you know, okay, point out the negatives. This is what went wrong. This is what we need to improve on and try and bring it through. Are these to push in the same direction? There's no point one person pulling one way and the rest of the guys going another. But it comes down to confidence. That plays a huge factor in football. You've seen that before. A team can go on a run when they get a couple of wins together. It's just getting that first win. But at the moment, that's looking pretty elusive.
Yeah, we mentioned that we've got to talk about the goals, I guess. The first goal already mentioned. Just a bar through. Paul Dixon seems to stop running, claiming for an offside, but forgets that there's two other defenders alongside him that aren't playing an offside. And again, that comes down to those three not playing each other, not knowing who's going to be calling for the offside, who's nae. I mean, Conor Sam's not exactly blessed with pace anyway. So he had kind of the freedom of Alawa to do what he wanted.
He pretty much did have the freedom of Alawa. We're big supporters of Danny. But got to call it as I see it. I'm going to do it. It's a poor pass in midfield. I can't sugarcoat it. You know, the root cause of it, yes, okay, you can argue that Salmon's still got a lot to do, but it's a really poor pass in midfield. Ken, you said earlier that it's not a bad position to lose it. Yeah, I agree, it's not a bad position to lose it. But again, we're looking to go backwards or square. And I just think, if you look at the highlights and everything, I think that area of the pitch should be looking at. So, poor Fidani, but again, it's a team thing, and you know, you've got to defend it better. You're appealing for offside, and there's two guys behind you. He's got freedom to slot it away.
Goal two, corner, again, something that we've mentioned numerous times. Just a ball at the back post, and he's managed to head it for virtually on top of the goal line.
But it wasn't a corner, but a cross just a couple of minutes earlier, but it went to the front post. So the warning was there that there was a cross ball coming in offside corner, you expect him. But yeah, he's under a goal and under really very little pressure. Puts him, again, you're facing an uphill task going 1-0 doing it early, but to be 2-0 doing it inside the first quarter, newer, massive uphill task.
That was three, through ball again, doing that left hand side. Left hand side of our defence is a key area for us in terms of, like, that seems to be where we're conceding a lot of the goals. And although Dixon just get back and makes a tackle of some kind, the finish was still there.
Yeah, it's a pattern that's emerging doing our left hand side. Maybe one of them think Andy McDonald has previously been a centre half partner for Jason Brown. There is an understanding. You've also got Davy Wilson. Is it maybe worth going to a back three with them three? I've got a better understanding over the last season. But again, it's an area that I think we need to work on.
Goal four, mistake at the back. I don't know if I think it's Scullion making an attempt to try and clear it or what he does, but he just doesn't get it right. And again, it's a simple finish.
Yeah, there's no much to say. It's quite a depressing thing. It's Scullion, he hasn't really done that much wrong since he came in. It's Arsenal, but again, he's got to do better, I'm afraid.
Goal five, shot from range, saved again. Excuse me, by Newman, but the young lad's been in there. He's run in and finished it off well. But I think I counted, it was three or four blue shirts just standing sort of waiting for something to happen. David Wilson, he was on by this time. He was the only one that sort of made an attempt to block the shot. But the young lad's come on for his debut and scored.
Yeah, good debut for him. nice good for us. But I mean, 4-0 Dún, the game's gone, the game's lost, and the Heaves are certainly Dún, and you just want to get back up the road.
And I read as well that he actually scored a hat trick the night before for the under 21s or something like that, the youth yeah. team, and then comes on. But that kind of sums up how things are gone for us at the moment. That young lad can score a hat trick and then come on the next day and score against us.
Yeah, you know, interesting. They've got an under 21 squad. Maybe a topic for another day.
As well, I say, that's another discussion.
That's another discussion. But yeah, when you're a luck suit, you're a luck suit. And to be honest, I think we're luck. It's certainly just new. And this is as lowest as what I've seen in, you know, a long, long time.
It's definitely the lowest that we've been for a wee while. And even in the year that we got relegated back in 2017, you always felt that we were going to get out of it. Something was going to happen, something was going to change. The players that we had back then were I wouldn't say they were any better than what we've got. Ironically, Ryan Strachan was one of those that was there the last time. I think he's probably a better player now than he was back then. But this is really getting to the point where you're as you know, to quote Jim again, we're clutching at straws here, trying to find anything positive out of these performances, and it will come to a point where you know fans will start talking with their feet is a phrase in terms of like they'll stop going to the games, the attendances will start coming down, and then somebody will have to kind of look at that and say, well, where does the change where does the change come in?
Do you think there needs to be a change?
I think in terms of the management, I'm not sure. I just think that if he stops playing players out of position and tries to figure out what his strongest 11 is, his best is, and just say, right, that's it, that's what we're going with. But he's now up, what did I say to you the other day, he's up with a 25-man squad we're at now.
Yeah.
He used 30 last year. You know, that's 55 players over a course of 2 years. That's an awful lot of folk coming through the doors at Balmoor. He's obviously been well backed by the chairman and the board, wherever he says, right, oh, I need this player to come in, I need this player. They're backing him. But you know, the argument is, well, who'll come in? Well, we're not caring for who's interested in the job because the job's not available.
And I always take the argument with a pinch of salt of who would want to come in. If you were on that basis, you would never get rid of a manager, or you would never look for a change because it's the unknown. I certainly think there's a growing concern within the support that something needs to be done. You can see that just over recent weeks with the social media comments. There is more and more people becoming vocal that they feel a change is needed. You know, you'll hear the one argument of that it should be the manager that goes and one that you need the team to gel. I get both, but at some point there needs to be a decision made on, well, is it the team waiting to gel or do we need a new manager? I'm not convinced the new manager now would help the situation. But that's not to say that give it another month and you still haven't got a win, then you need to look at things. I think we're under, you know, the club's under pressure in terms of performances aren't there. And this also continues to the end of last season with a bit of a purple patch. But if you were to take the record of Premier League wins in 2022, the calendar year, you'd be hard pushed to you know, what, 4 or 5 maybe? That was in March, April time that sort of just made us secure. So I think this is on the back of last season as well. And, you know, fans are fickle. You know, you get a win, things change. But at the moment, there's a lot of growing unrest. And at some point, something will need to change one way or another.
Yeah, and you look at the performance, as I said, you know, Alloway had 12 shots, 9 on target, 63% possession. We had 3 shots, none on target, 37% possession. I go back to what I said earlier. You know, last season, you'd always feel as though that there was there was something there, there was performances there, but we were just nae getting the performances. And it, I don't know if the players themselves are obviously they will be up for it and want the things to turn round, but sometimes you get the impression that maybe they've even sort of lost the confidence already.
I think last season, there's very few times that I felt that we were outplayed and outclassed. But I can only speak for myself, I'm not sure about you, but on Saturday, see when we went 2-0 down, even though it was only a quarter an hour, I felt the game was done.
Mm.
Based on what I've seen in the last 8 games, or maybe this season, I didn't feel that within ourselves and the team, that this was a team that was going to score 2, get back and let get a third and go on to win it. I struggle to see where the goals are coming from. And, we've mentioned before, you keep things tight and you go away from him, you can see within a minute, just not the cause, but I really kind of see far we're getting that win from. Hey, I'd love to sit here next week and speak in the back of a win on Saturday. But, like I said, I can't see far it's coming from.
You've been saying that for the last 2 or 3 weeks now.
I'm convinced 1 week I'll be able to sit here and say, we'll be able to speak positively about a win and how well the team's done. But, the guys are watching the game. They see what we are seeing. And you kind of pull the wool over folks' eyes that are paying good money to watch that on a Saturday afternoon. But like you said, there's going to come a time when people are going to say, well, do I really want to put my hard-earned money for the working week into watching or travelling to the game or spending money at the club? It's, obviously everybody came to an 11 crisis at the moment and costs everything's going up. And if you'll get your diehards that go every week, but there's going to be some people that start thinking, well, do I really want to go if I can't see the far we're going, the direction the club's going? And yeah, I think there's maybe a few conversations to be had over the next couple of weeks and months.
We'll quickly go through some of the comments after Saturday. As you can imagine, there is a few.
Quite a lot.
Owen Murphy says, might as well go at the Highland League, team's a joke. Sure, Guinness, going to be one long hard slog for us. Neil Thompson, embarrassing, 3, 4 and 5 goals in the last 3 games, and then Rory up next, which we'll come on to just shortly. Michael Wilson, on the positive side, time for the players players need time to gel, but it could be too late, I'm afraid. Heads up, lads. Rosemary Cow, rubbish game, but once they gel, we'll be bouncing. And I guess that's kind of the argument we're looking at. We're saying, folk are saying, we need the players to gel, but how long do you give it? Is I guess what we're saying.
Yeah, I guess that'd be the question. Like the guys, like I said, everybody's entitled to their opinion. There's no wrong opinion, but the guys are saying we need time in jail. How long do we give it? Do we sit here at the end of September and go, we still need them to gel? Or do we get to November and think, well, we're not just quite gelling yet, but at that point we could be cut off. It's an open question, but it's like, well, how long do we give it? I think the comments of the Highland League, it's not the first time I've heard that comment. Folks saying that we're better off there. They've got an argument for it, based on what we've seen. It's difficult, but I'm sure everybody at the club's trying to pull in the same direction, where they're trying to get that first win. But yeah, how long would you give it? The argument of the team needs time to gel.
It's an open ended question, really. You don't really can, because as you said, it could be, the transfer window closes this week. We can still get loan players in, although I think you can only bring in one more loan because we allowed 5 maximum for this season, and he's only got Jack until January. So if he does end up going back to the United, we'll be then looking for another goalkeeper again if that one's not extended. Then you're in the realms of, well, okay, we're into September, October. We've played everybody at least once by then, possibly even twice. We know what we're up against. And if we are 6-7 points adrift, is that enough to kickstart someone? Do we need to be then 10 points adrift? Do we need to be 12 points adrift? These are questions that only one, maybe 2 men can answer.
Yeah, Yeah, there's two men within the club that will okay the answers are how long you give it for gelling. Where do they see the club going? Would they be happy next season if we weren't in League One? You know, there's like I said, there's only two people within the club that will be able to answer that one. Unfortunately, we are neither of those two people.
Unfortunately not, though. Another couple here. Lindsay Finlay says there's no words. Will Roberts says, I'm starting to get a feeling that a change might be needed. Chris on Twitter says, how about it's just depressing? Archie, defensive blunderland. And I guess that's a theme as well. Okay, the goals are the defensive mistakes, but how often can you keep changing your defence and try and cover up these mistakes?
Well, as it was discussed, I don't think changing the defence week in and week out would help. I think that maybe plays a factor. As you said, if we can maybe get a team together that's got a solid base, we are defence, then you can look to build on it. But yeah, you've got to start somewhere. I think getting a solid foundation at the back wouldn't be the worst place to start.
So we might go on to the topic then of the transfer window. It does close this week. As I said, loans and free transfers are still available until the end of September. We've already brought in 16 players this season. Add that to the players that were signed up already. As I said, we've got 24 players in the squad. Add in Jamie Redmond and Craig Simpson, who were very short-term fixes for the League Cup in the start of the season. You're up to 26 players, although I don't think Jamie and Craig will be used again at any point this season. Cause I think, well, I certainly know that Jamie's not going to be used because he's away working again already, so he just was a short-term fix. The new guy coming in on Saturday, Cristiano Kasuka, again, you know, 30-year-old, been playing mainly in the juniors. I it didn't do it too badly. I actually thought his movement was quite good. But, and this is again, no disrespect to him, but why are we signing a 30-year-old who's been playing primarily in the juniors for the last 10, 12 years, and I think also retired at one point? There has to be players available that we can get in.
I got excited on Saturday when I heard it signed a 30-year-old Cristiano, but I thought he maybe left Manchester United to come to Balmour.
Get him on
help us out. No such luck. I think this is no disrespect to the guy. You know, you've got to give him a chance. He looks a big, strong fella. To be fair, maybe maybe slightly too similar to Ola in that respect. And he's only played one game, so you know you've got to give these guys chances. But yeah, I get your argument of our signing players for the lower leagues and the juniors. You would like to feel that there could have been a better player suited potentially, but you know you tend to find that players that are of good quality and you know ready to go for the word go have been signed up already, and yet when you say you're scraping the barrel, because that's naive, I mean, at all. But you're now looking at avenues to sign players that you maybe wouldn't have before. So your pool is a lot smaller and a lot shorter. But, you know, if he comes out to score 10, 15 goals a season, you know, we'd be delighted with it.
I don't think we're going to need too much in terms of bringing in anybody else. Because I genuinely think that there is quality there. I do think there's really good players there. But as I said, it's just getting that confidence levels up again, trying to get them played consistently in the same positions. Because as I said, if you could sort of compare some of the players that we've got to, like say, Alawa or Kelty or FC Edinburgh, for example, maybe even Clyde at that point as well, I think someone would easily be better than what they've got. But you know, as I said, we're up to 25, 26 of our squad already. Almost too many players.
Yeah. There is quality. You know, players who have played for previous teams that have shown quality. Kind of quite hit the mark yet. And that's what we're saying. We're looking for these players to improve. I don't think the answer is signing more players. I think it's getting the players that we've currently got to come together.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, if there was an attacking midfielder that was good that became available, I think that would be the worst position to sign a player in. I think every other position we've sort of got about covered, there's backup. But losing Hamish Ritchie, that we hadn't planned on, obviously he's going to be out for the season, I don't think replacing him with a loanee or a player if he became available would be the worst thing out there. Because that allows you then that flexibility in the formation and somebody there. I think Jack Brown can do that role. Again, if you've got somebody with him to compliment him, you could almost pay maybe two behind the striker. Again, he gives that flexibility. I think that'd be the worst position. But anything else, I think we're pretty much covered. I think we've got players that can come in for somebody if they're injured or suspended.
Yeah, we asked this question. This is before Saturday's game, so some of the answers might have been slightly different. But Ian Ritchie's basically echoed what you're saying there. Definitely need an attacking midfielder, and that's maybe one of the positions that we do need cover. Again, though, if you look at Ryan Dow, hasn't been playing in that position this season. He's had to fill in a slightly deeper role, obviously missed the game through illness. I think once he's back fit as well, he could easily fill in that role. But again, it's just about him playing and getting his fitness up and his confidence up.
Ryan Dow's a good player, and he's shown that the last couple of years as well. Again, once he gets his fitness, I'm going on about it now, once the team gel, but there are certain players that you know are really good. And they're good for this level, and Ryan is one of them. And once you've maybe got him playing a level that he's happy with, unfortunately illness kept him out for Saturday, then I think he could have a crucial part to play. That position that he plays, maybe just behind the striker, the attacking field role, I think that'll be key this season, because without Hamish, I think we are lacking in creativity. I say the suspected players that we've got, but there are maybe likes of the guys that played on Saturday in the midfield part, but Jack, the rest of them are defensive minded. Ironically, they don't quite work out like that. But, you know, you're looking for this creative spark, a wee bit of flair, something that Hamish would have provided before. You're looking for maybe Ryan that could come in and be it.
And that's kind of what's been echoed by a few of the comments has come in, saying that it's midfield and the attacking end that it's needing, you know, cover or extra bodies in. And as I said, but I think the players are there. I think it's just us need to utilise them in the right way.
Yeah. There is a core of the team there, but confidence is so low just now. We said before that when your confidence is low, you will aim to go sideways or backwards. And when your confidence is good, you play it around with each other. You look forward. It's one touch, two touches, give and goes. It's good movement. And it's getting that balance in between. We've jokingly said for a couple of weeks now, we're named it the ricochet to have somebody's backside to go in. That's the point, I think, for that. You're looking for that lucky break. I love it to start on Saturday.
All right, so let's get on to Saturday's game then. We've got Montrose. Traditionally, a game that doesn't have too many goals. I think the four games last season, there was only four goals across those four games. Two 0-0s, brilliant 0-0s they were as well. It's just maybe an ideal game that, you know, there's not traditionally enough a lot of goals in it, or is this a game where you actually you maybe prefer it to have goals?
I'll take a 0-0 just now, if that answers your question about goals. I don't think you've got to look at the league just now and go, that's the team you want to play, based on how we are playing. But, as you said, traditionally this is a game that doesn't have many goals. So it probably is, at this moment in time, a mere preferential team to play. I think Montrose, obviously, they'll come and play football. They want to sit in. That could work to our advantage, being the home team. We caught Queens on the hop, you know, 2 weeks ago at home. We got an early goal. It didn't quite work out in the end.
Got punished for it.
Yeah, we've pretty much annoyed them. I think if you can get maybe a goal lead against Montrose, it gives you something to hang on for and, you know, try and progress from there. But I think it will be a tough game.
Montrose did win three games last season, 2-0 once, 1-0 twice. It's been nearly 2 years since we've actually scored a goal in open play against them. Ben Armour, if you remember, got a double down there November 2020. Isaac Lane did score December last year, but that was through a penalty. So, you know, it's not an ideal game to be going into when you're looking for a goal or looking for a game to win.
No, but I also think that a point wouldn't be the worst result. We've got to start somewhere. I think we're getting you in somebody 3-4-5-0. But, you know, I think a clean sheet would be, you know, ideal, because that, the confidence of the keeper and defensive team from there on, you know, it becomes magnified. Because they've kept the clean sheet, and that's your base and foundation. Let's not say if we win 2-1, or anything like that, I'd need to be sniffed at, because a win's a win, but I think a clean sheet on Saturday is definitely something we've got to look at.
I mean, defensively, you look at Montrose, they've only conceded two goals in the league already, so, you know, it's set up to be another tight game, and if it is going to be a tight game, that's where the longer it goes, where, you know, if it maybe is 0-0, and we're playing reasonably well, or you know, even if we're 1-1, the longer it goes like that, then the agitation or kind of the nerves coming off the stand goes onto the players, and that, so the tension then builds a little bit more as well.
Yeah, I think if we concede earlier on Saturday, I think you're going to see, well, maybe not so much tension, but almost like a deflation, because you know, finger winning, things are good, but when you're getting beat, you know, it can be quite a hostile certain parts of it. You're going to hear things shouted. I don't think there's going to be that big a crowd at the game on Saturday, if I'm being honest. And you mentioned earlier on about people voting with their feet. I think we're almost at that point already. I think we're in for a tough game on Saturday. And like I said, if we keep a clean sheet, I'm delighted with it, but I'm struggling to see if we're going to win the game.
If everybody's available, obviously we do. The long-term ones are obviously negatively available, but if everybody's available, what changes would you be looking to make, if any?
I think Ryan Dow's got to come back in. I think that's a stick on. Probably, maybe an unpopular one, Paul Dixon, maybe having a seat on the bench. Whether it's just us, it's maybe an overly impressed. I think Max has got to go back to right-back. I think his best position's there. Other than that, maybe need too much changes. Again, we've got to try and get a bit of a continuity in the team. I think changing 3, 4, and 5 players at a time is going to work. But Jim needs to, in my opinion, look at his team, figure out what formation he wants to play week in, week out. Maybe barring going away to the so-called bigger team, but play a formation, put in his players that he wants to play, and then try and build for that.
I mean, the Montrose game is the start of a big month already. You know, we're into September, you know, we've got FC Edinburgh after that, then Kelty, which is could be a pivotal game. Then we've got the Trust Trophy game, and then we go to Dunfermline beginning of October. So it, all these games, if we keep saying it's going to be tough, but I think these next three could be pivotal.
I think Edinburgh, Kelty and Elgin, if we hadn't got a win, then I think there's got to be a fair amount of social media comments then, or a lot of chat in the tune, because if you're out of the cup to Elgin and you're not beating Edinburgh or Kelty, and you're looking at a league table, I think there's something we need to change then. In what way? I don't know, but I certainly think there'll be a change somewhere required.
But we will remain positive as much as we can. We'll be there on Saturday again, and clutching at straws maybe again, but if we try and play the way that we know that they are capable of, we might get someone out of this game.
Yeah, like I said, if we keep our clean sheet, I think that would be ideal. I think there's not going to be a high scoring game. I don't think I'd bite your hand off for a draw just now.
Okay, so joining me now on the podcast, we're going to get a Montrose perspective from Graham from the Montrose Sports Club. Graham, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
Not bad. Thanks for having us. Happier after Saturday, you know, it has to be said. But yeah, just cracking on and just enjoying the new season and being back in grounds, of course.
It's a good thing. Glad somebody's happy if they're settled out with the two of us, because certainly we are struggling a little bit. We've been recording for about an hour just trying to get through the game and what's going on. But enough of that. We're here to speak about the positive side of things for your point of view to Montrose. As we know, Montrose have been really consistent in the last 4 or 5 seasons under Stuart Peterley in League One. How good a job has he been doing over the last 5 seasons?
Absolutely fantastic. He's brought with him just the consistency, you know, he's got a message that he likes to give, and if it's even to us fans, to the board, to the press, it seems to be a straight line throughout it. You know, if you look at the fact that, 6, 7 years ago, we were playing Brora and we nearly dropped out of the league, and we've still got the spine of that team with the club, that he just seems to have gotten something out of them, you know, whether or not it's that personal belief. You know, signing players as well, obviously. You know, always with the mantra that you only sign guys that are better than what you've already got and stuff like that. And it just seems to have worked. You know, the guys have bought into the ethos, the fans have bought into the ethos. And, you know, some people say I wasn't lucky enough to be born in the 70s when we had a heyday sort of thing. But I'd certainly say these last 5 years have certainly been up there with that time for the club.
And that's kind of key, I guess, when you look at the amount of players or the few players that you've brought in the summer, that you've kept that sort of core and the players that have been there for a number of seasons, unlike maybe some of the other teams in League One. Certainly some like what's been happening with us, and it seems to be a revolving door of players, but you've managed to keep that core.
Definitely. I think it's key for consistency. You know, like say the guys that are there, you know what's expected of them in training. The players themselves all chat amongst themselves. You know, like, so, let's face it, Scottish football isn't the massive goldfish bowl that people think it is. Players still speak to each other. So if there's talk of players coming to a club, they'll speak to each other, find out what it's all about. And obviously, you know, I would say the key missing part of us the past few years has been a number 9. And thankfully, we finally signed one that you guys will know pretty well, unfortunately. And you can see the difference in them already, even with the younger players. You know, just you'll drag them by the boots and get them up to a standard that they need to be where they are.
Let's talk about your season so far then in the league. 2 wins, 2 draws, 1 defeat. How's the season going so far?
Yeah, it's been good. When the fixtures came out, everybody freaked out by the first 3 fixtures. You know, like Falkirk, Queen of the South, Dunfermline. I would probably say we deserved the win down at Falkirk. We were quite unlucky there. Mm. Queen of the South was more of a stuffy game. No real clear-cut chances, but, you know, there was a few there that we could have taken advantage of. Dunfermline, it was one of those days, you know, on a different day. We had a chance just past the post before they scored their goal that could have made a difference in the game. But since then, you know, like, so we've kind of kicked on. We've picked up 2 home victories. I don't want to be too cheeky and say that hopefully we'll get 3 in a row come Saturday, but you know, we've always struggled when we've come up to Balmore. So, you know, like I think probably the season we won the league, 5 years ago, we got the draw and we got the 1-0 victory quite late on and stuff like that. So it's never been a happy hunting ground for us. So, you know, even with your problems and stuff like that, you guys have kind of been struggling a wee bit with injuries, recruitment and stuff like that. So it's difficult, you know, as I say, we've brought guys in, they're still settling in. We still have a bit of an injury list as well, which once these guys come back, it's going to be quite interesting to see how far we can push it. And the players that are already in the team, you know, if they're replaced, because, you know, the more competition you have for places, the harder it is to keep the place at times.
You mentioned the previous games, and we were chatting earlier on about the lack of goals, certainly in these the games. I know that the 4 games last season only produced 4 goals. it's nearly 2 years since we scored against you in open play. So are you expecting similar kind of game again, or are you expecting it to be totally different?
It's always a tight game up there, and whether or not it's, you know, we've gotten used to playing on the plastic, so to speak, because more and more clubs have got it. So coming up to, like say, grass pitch can always be that added extra sort of thing, you know, like say, if it's a wee bit sticky, if it's a wee bit dry, the ball bounces differently and stuff like that. Always expect it to be a tough game when we come up there. Jim's always got, you know, despite the lack of maybe players or big signings for yourself, he always has got them well drilled and stuff like that. And he'll have done his homework on us, you know. And going back to what we said, you know, it's great that we've got consistency of players there that have maybe been there for a few years. The downside to that is managers know how we're going to play, and they know what the players can do. So, you know, there's that element of surprise kind of gets taken away from it. Certainly, you know, signing Ross Sinclair in goals has been a big difference as well. You know, he's complemented with Aaron being out injured, and he's some player as well, you know, and there's a couple of young lads coming in from Ross County. But then we're on a Monday just now. The window closes on what, Wednesday night. There may well still be some movement there. So it's hard to say, but I hate saying this, especially when I'm on your own podcast, but I am quietly confident for Saturday.
You don't need to shirking any of your opinions. That's what you're here for. And to be honest, we're kind of struggling to think it'll be anything other than a Montrose victory on Saturday as well.
It's one of those ones, though. But you know, football's a funny old game. You know, like I said, let's go to the last game of our season last year against the other day, 3-1 up. We're all sitting there smoking cigars thinking this is it, you know, feet up, you know, like say, make a couple of changes, rest players for the final, and next thing you know, it's like, boom, there you go, extra time, out you go. And it's taken all summer to kind of get over that feeling, you know, like say, until we kind of signed Rory and Ross and the two young lads from Ross County, it was kind of like, we're needing back up here. So football's a funny old game, you know, like say, it's one of those ones. Come 5 o'clock on Saturday, you know, we might have different views on how the game went, but as long as it's a good game of football and everyone enjoys themselves, that's part and parcel of it.
You mentioned Rory there, obviously a legend up with us. I guess a bit surprised that you've managed to sign him after coming away for COVID, certainly under the circumstances, but how's he getting on?
Yeah, like I said, obviously didn't play a lot of pre-season by the looks of it with COVID, whether or not he was just had a wee injury or just whatever it was because of the discussion of a supposed holiday or whatever it was, Jim McIntyre's problem was there, you know. Great to have him in, as I say, you know, the first couple of games, just getting up to fitness and, you know, obviously playing with different set of players, what can they do, what can I do for them? But the last couple of games, you can see the difference in the quality in the guy. You know, like, so people still go on, oh, he's in his mid-30s, and, you know, we signed Chris Templeman at that age, you know, and we got 3 years out of Sarri. And the guy's a legend at the club, you know, like, you know, I think Rory's well thought of at Brechin with yourselves, you know, even at Cove, you know, for his couple of years there. He scores goals, and that's what we've been crying out for. So, yeah, he's looked fitted in well. The fans are all happy enough. We had one guy who said, you know, until he scores his first goal in front of me, all will be forgiven. And he scored on Saturday, turned around, that's it, he's forgiven for everything over the last few years, like it. So, fickle world of football fans, obviously, you know, like I said. But yeah, no, it's great having someone like his quality, and his experience as well, just for the younger lads at the club. Tremendous.
Other than Rory, then, who's been catching your eye? Who's somebody we should be watching out for on Saturday?
Kerr Waddle at the back. Was in the SPFL Team of the Week last week. Was unlucky probably not to have gotten Man of the Match last week. Scored the first goal in 60 games for us. And then goes out on Saturday and scores a second goal in 61 games. Guy, old-fashioned centre-back. Just any ball up in the air. Doesn't matter if there's four players in front of him. He's winning that ball. Yeah. If he takes people out, he'll take them out. But he's also quite good at going forward as well. And definitely a threat at set pieces.
Finally then, score prediction. What do you think it's going to be?
3-1 to Montrose.
You're giving us a goal. Thankfully, that'll be a goal in it.
I've got to be nice. You know, like, whether that's an own goal or not. Oh. Nah, 3-1. Only ever because, like I said, depending on the way the wind blows at Balmore, can always cause problems.
Absolutely. Graham, I appreciate your time. Thanks very much for coming on. I was going to say, I hope you enjoy your journey up, but not your journey home, hopefully. things turn our way on Saturday. But appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on.
No, Paul. Thank you very much, Paul. Cheers. All the best, pal.
So that is it, game over once again for this week. We do hope you've enjoyed it. Thank you once again to Graham from the Montrose Supporters Club for coming on, and to Martin Smith for being here as always. It's been another tough week, but we go again, and we continue to support the team as always. Thank you for listening. I've been Colin Byers. We'll be back again next week, so until then, stay safe, and we'll see you all again very soon.